I mentioned Nehemiah in my video, and I just want to kind of talk. This message is very dear to me because it's, anyway, I'll talk about it a little bit more here. Nehemiah chapter 1, I love Nehemiah. He's one of my favorite Bible characters. He knew how to get things done, amen, and he's a man of God, that's for sure. Nehemiah chapter 1, would you stand with me just real quickly, and just want to read a few verses, and then we'll read a few more verses as we continue on. Nehemiah chapter 1, and I'll read and you can follow on, and then we'll pray. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. I want to preach to you on these passages in the book of Nehemiah, and I've entitled this sermon, Where Do I Belong? Where Do I Belong? Let's pray, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me this privilege to share your word. Lord, you know who I am. I'm nothing. I'm just dust held by the grace of God. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me this calling, and I pray, Lord, that you would help me to be a mouthpiece for you. Lord, they want to hear from you, not from me. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with thy spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless each and every one of us here this morning. I pray that you would help us to be attentive, help us to listen, help us to get a vision for world evangelism. I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to bless New Testament Baptist Church, Lord, continue to help them to flourish and to move forward for you. And I pray, Lord, that right now, everything that would be said, I pray that would be from you. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would move amongst us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Nehemiah, one of my favorite characters. And, you know, Nehemiah wasn't called in a very spectacular fashion as some in the Bible. And we've heard great stories in the Bible of how great men were called of God. We think of Apostle Paul and how he was persecuting Christians and putting them into prison. And man, he was a real thorn in the Lord's flesh. And the Lord called him on the road to Damascus. And man, that was an amazing story, and how Apostle Paul, Saul at the time, his life was flipped upside down, and God was able to use him in a mighty way, and even to write many of the letters and books in the Bible. Man, Apostle Paul, a great Bible character, a great man of God. And we think of all the apostles, really, who was called by Jesus himself, and how some of them were out fishing, some of them were doing their thing, and God came, and Jesus came and called them. Can you imagine being called by Jesus himself? And man, what a privilege, what an honor to be called by Jesus. And we think of Jonah, and we know Jonah had a sad ending, but think about how he was taken, and he was on his way to Tarshish, and he didn't want to be used of God, really, but God created a storm and saw all those men in the boat calling out to their God, and come to find out Jonah was the reason for the storm, and they threw him out of the boat, and God used a whale or a fish to take him where he was supposed to go. Man, that was pretty spectacular. I would have loved to. Could you imagine fishing on the beach there, and suddenly you see this whale and spitting out a man? And I love my fishing. I went fishing all my life. And any fishermen out there, amen. I've never fished out in the ice before, but that I need to try that one day. Of course, the comfort of a heater and space heater and everything, all that. But can you imagine fishermen? And I know sometimes we can get very, very engrossed in our fishing it, right? And then you know, you see this whale. That's pretty interesting. And you just get up and walk, all the mucus and, right? Man, that would have been spectacular. We think of David. Man, wasn't he a man of God? And him and Goliath and fighting Goliath and all that. That would have been an awesome thing. Elisha following Elijah and the mantle falling down. And we think about all these spectacular things and ways that God called men. But here Nehemiah is, just a lowly cupbearer. I wouldn't call it a lowly. I would love to be a cupbearer for a king. Man, can you imagine all the food that you can eat? I always go back to this thing called food, and that's something we can all relate to, amen, right? Y'all look at me like you've never eaten before, but y'all eat. So don't leave me on an island. But man, we were in Florida about 3-4 weeks ago, 3 years. I lose number. I'm not good at math. But we were just in Florida, and on the way there, we always stop at Tennessee, and there's this place called Paula Deen's. Anyone ever heard of her before? And I guess she can cook well. She puts butter. I've learned that if you put butter in anything, it'll taste good. Amen. And if it doesn't taste good, just put more butter. Amen. you'd be eating soup, drinking soup, butter. Anyway, and man, there's a restaurant there we eat all the time. Man, that's good food. And it never gets old. It never gets old. And it's good food. But can you imagine Nehemiah? He's eating all the good stuff, all the good things that you've never eaten before. Eating caviar, you know. Who's ever eaten caviar? I've never eaten. Is it good? I heard they're good. Anyway, I know one time my dad caught a fish with eggs in it, and he cooked it. And that was good. It was like cooked eggs, but that was good. And but man, he's eating all the good stuff, all the good stuff. Any Filipinos out here? You know, the lumpias and all the Filipino dishes. Amen. And all the good stuff. And man, he had a good job, that's for sure. But here in Nehemiah, he's away from home, and you know the story. The Jews were in captivity, and here Nehemiah is with King Artaxerxes. I call him King Art for short, okay? King Art, it's easier to say. But he's away from his country, and he hears news from his brothers, one of his brothers, Hanani. And they come to him, and they say, Nehemiah, the folks who are left of the captivity, they're in great, here, look at chapter 1. He says here in verse 3, he says, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Perhaps you've seen videos of these countries and some of the things that are happening in the Middle East right now, how just cities just destroyed from the war, and kids left to live in the streets, and folks eating just from whatever they can eat. And we see these videos, and I want you to picture it with me. Jerusalem, this great nation, children of God, and it's left in desolation. And we think, man, what a great city that was. And you've perhaps heard of a church. I think of a church close by in Michigan. Man, they're doing a great job for God and doing a great work, but now no longer exists, and the college no longer exists. We think, man, what happened? You know, I read this and I think about my country of Australia. Here, Nehemiah saw a need, and I saw a need. Here, let me tell you about how God showed me and called me back to Australia. Back in 2013, I was on staff for about 4 years at Lake Crest Baptist Church, and things were going great. I was a school teacher, dream job, amen, running kids. Who's any school teachers here? Amen. You know how awesome of a job it is in working with kids. They're so adorable and great. Man, I love them. And things were doing great. And I was a pastor's assistant. I love working at Lake Crest. It was a church that my wife grew up in. And we had our place situated everything. We had our place. We had our vehicles. We had Reese at the time, and he was still a baby, and so he wasn't able to do somersaults yet and climb up ceilings and such yet. But man, it was great, and things were going great. Every year we have a missions conference, and in the month of November, and a missionary couple to Australia came to our church. Now, they weren't our speakers at the time, but they came to the conference just to be there. And I learned they were from Australia, and I decided, hey, I'll talk to them after the service. And I talked to this dear couple who were missionaries to Australia. They were working with Pastor Keith Piper in Sydney. And I said, what brings you here to our church? And they said, well, we're on furlough. We're in America right now. We're on furlough. And the thing is, we're not here by choice. Australia just did away with the religious visa that we were on. And the religious visa is the visa that a missionary, a foreign missionary, would use to get to Australia as a religious worker. And they said they did away with it. And now we're trying to find a sponsor who would sponsor us to be able to come back to Australia. And here is a couple wanting to go back to Australia to work and continue doing God's will, but they were restricted and weren't able to go back to Australia. When I learned of that, I thought to myself, what am I doing? It really cut to my heart, and I thought, I'm an Australian citizen. And I can go back whenever I want. And I thought to myself, what am I doing? And from then, God struck my heart. And I hadn't made a decision from that yet. But I knew God was starting to work in my heart. God was doing something that I didn't like. I didn't want to leave. America is a great country. I love America. It's $1 large drinks at McDonald's and Paula Deen's restaurant and all the things that America has. I love America. I've been to many countries, and I think I love America. I can't leave here. I thought to myself, man, I can't take my wife away from the country that she grew up in and from her family that she knows. And man, I thought to myself, I can't do this. For days and weeks, I kind of shrugged off the Holy Spirit and thought, you know, everything's all right. Everything's what we call hunky dory. She'll be right, mate. Yeah, she'll be good. And I was struggling a lot with this, and I was told of a need. I was told of a need, and it struck my heart. And I think of Australia right now, and Australia is not in a very comfortable situation spiritually. Physically, it's great. It's a great place to live. The economy is doing great, and the standard of living is great. But if you go there and if you visit enough churches in Australia, you'll see that spirituality is not its strong suit. Australia is in spiritual desolation. As I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, about 40 years ago, it was about 0% no religion. So everybody believed in something. They believed in a higher power, something. But now, in today's statistics, 30% don't believe in God. They don't have a religion at all. As you saw in the video, most are Catholics, okay? And most believe in work salvation, okay? Which isn't God's salvation, by the way. That's not the way the Lord intended salvation to be. And only 1.5% are what we call Baptists, who would profess to be Baptists. And that includes Baptist Union. And just talking about my testimony this morning, I grew up in a Baptist Union church, never hearing about salvation. And I don't know how many people do in a Baptist Union church. And there's about 180 Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches in Australia right now. Many of them average about 50. Many of them, I do say, a lot of the ones that I've visited don't really have a strong soul-winning emphasis in their churches. Many are closing their doors. A lot of pastors in Australia are getting to the age that they're retiring at right now. They are needing somebody to take over the church and to continue doing the work there. While we were, my wife and my family were able to go there back in 2016, and we were able to visit some churches. While I was there, the church that we were visiting was looking for a new pastor. The pastor was having some health issues. He was up in age and wasn't able to do much in the church anymore. And they're looking for a pastor. Even to this day, they're still looking for a pastor. 2 weeks before we were leaving to come back to America, I heard of a very, there's an Arabic church in Sydney, and the pastor quit. I don't know the story behind it, but the pastor quit. Still looking for a pastor. That's almost 2 years now. About a month ago, the church that I grew up in is looking for a pastor. Now the pastor's moving. You see, if these churches close down, many independent Baptist churches are supporting also missionaries that go out into the world, such as your church. And if these churches close down, then the support goes down for missionaries all around the world. So it affects other people too. Australia is in very dire need. And the thing is, not just anybody can go. If you want to be a missionary to Australia, I honestly can't tell. I don't know how a missionary, and we've heard the prayer letter from folks in New Zealand. They're having such a hard time too, trying to get their visas worked out. And honestly, I don't know how to tell you to go to Australia and to be there long term, be a missionary there. I honestly don't know. They're getting very tight when it comes to these visas, even work visas, and it's getting harder, and Australia is closing its doors to missionaries. And I believe, and we sang the song this morning, so little time, and it's true, we really have little time, and this world is closing its doors left, right, and center to the gospel, and if it's world evangelism that we need to get. We've got to get to it now. We've got to invest in it now. We've got to start reaching the world with the gospel now. Because as it stands now, people are closing their doors, and we need to get to these folks right now. We need to lead folks to the Christ, to the Lord right now. There's a great need in Australia, and as Nehemiah saw a need, I saw a need. I want to ask you this morning, do you see a need here in Hamilton? Do you see a need here at New Testament Baptist Church? Perhaps you look around and you come to church every Sunday, and you look around and you perhaps see a need. You perhaps look around, perhaps there are empty chairs, and you think, man, I know somebody who could sit in those chairs in church on Sunday. Perhaps you see a neighbor, a lost neighbor that you see every day, and you see a need there, and perhaps your neighbor needs the Lord. Perhaps you see a need in perhaps the nursery. We need workers or folks to perhaps clean the property up or the buildings or perhaps to sing a special or play the piano or whatever it may be. Perhaps you see a need just like Nehemiah saw a need. Folks, there are needs everywhere. And perhaps you don't see a need, and perhaps you have heard of a need. Perhaps Pastor McLean has come up here and have shared his heart, perhaps of a certain need. In a video this morning, we see a need of Bearing Precious Seed and they're needing to get John and Romans out to the nation of Canada. You see a need there. I don't know what it is, but I know we can at least find one need in our lives. I can see, perhaps this morning you can think of something right now. Do you see a need, folks? Do you see a need? Or have you been told of a need? Nehemiah saw a need. But you know what? He didn't stop there. He didn't say, oh, Jerusalem? Okay, they're not doing so well? Oh, that's a shame. No. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4 of chapter 1. It says here, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down, and look here what he does, and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Perhaps you see a need, but what have you done with that need? Here in Nehemiah, he went without food and he prayed to God. Anyone here ever gone without food, even just a meal? Man, we get what we call hangry, right? And we need a Snickers bar real quickly to satisfy that need. Man, when was the last time we saw a need in our church, a need in our country, a need in our home, wherever it may be, a need at work perhaps, and you wept about it and it affected you? Here in Nehemiah, he saw a need in his home country and he thought, man, that troubles my heart. And it made him and it caused him to cry and to weep and to even pray and fast about it. He didn't just see a need and said, whatever. It affected him. When I was told by this missionary couple about the need in Australia, I thought, wow. I wonder how many missionaries are in Australia, foreign missionaries in Australia who are going through a hard time right now with their visas. I wonder how many missionaries are being kicked out of the country because of what's happening there right now. And for days, I thought to myself, wow. And I couldn't, and it affected me so much that I couldn't just let it go. Thought to myself, what am I doing? I thought, is there something I can do? But I knew there was something I could do about it, but man, it affected my heart. And I cried on and off, and I prayed, and there were times I went without meals, and I thought to myself, man, this is really, really eating me up. For weeks and months, and I thought about it, what can we do? Have you thought about a need, a loved one that needed to be saved, perhaps? When was the last time you cried about them, cried for them? When was the last time you said, Lord, you know what? I'm going to go a whole day without food for my loved one, for a friend, for a coworker that needs you. When was the last time that we cried and mourned for somebody who perhaps is going through a hard time, some health issues, perhaps financial difficulties, or going through something that is not a very pleasant thing to go through? And then we cried and we mourned and even fasted about it. When was the last time? Here, Nehemiah, it affected him. He cried for days and mourned about it. Not only did he pray and he fasted about this need that he had, he did something about it. He did something about it. This is what I love about Nehemiah. He heard of something, but he didn't just let it go. He did something about it. Here, if we read on in chapter 2 and look at verse 1, it says here, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Art, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire, then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Man, he went up to the king, and he told the king, Lord, king, would you let me go back to my home country and rebuild that city? And then he goes on, and then he started getting lumber for the place, started organizing group of people to go with him to get there as protection. He started acting upon this need that he had. You know, for weeks I thought about this missionary couple going. I thought about the possibilities of God calling me back to Australia, and God gave me peace about the decision to go back to Australia. I the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone, and God called and he said it's time to go back, and I made the decision, and I started telling the family and started telling folks that we were going to leave. I first thought about how my mother-in-law was going to kill me and how she's going to get a shotgun out of her room and shoot me and say, those grandkids ain't going anywhere. You can go. She still tells me that till this day. You can go, but the grandkids stay. But, I thought about all the things and the people that weren't going to be happy. But you know what? I made a decision. As Nehemiah made a decision, I made a decision. Folks, you perhaps see a need. Man, you see a need in this church, but man, it doesn't do any good if we don't act upon it, if we don't do anything about it. Perhaps you see a need in the church. Hey, go to your preacher and ask him, what can I do? What can I do? Man, your preacher will have a heart attack, I'll tell you. go to your preacher. What can I do? I know I can do something. I can do this, that, whatever. I want to be used, but I want to be a servant of God. You may not be called to Australia. You may not be called to New Zealand or Africa or China, wherever it may be. You may not be called to leave here and be a missionary, but I'm telling you what, you could do something here. And hey, a missionary is not just somebody who goes to a foreign country to share the gospel. A missionary, you can be a missionary. When you leave these doors, you're a missionary. You're a missionary to this place of Hamilton. You're a missionary to the place where you live. You're a missionary to the country of Canada. It is your job to share the gospel to the folks here in Canada. Okay, we can all be missionaries. There's always a need for folks to get saved. There's always a need for folks to get baptized. There's always a need for folks to be discipled and to bring to church and to grow in the grace of God. And there's always a need out there. But what are we going to do about it? We think about, man, I'm going to tell my coworker about Jesus. I'm going to tell my preacher that, hey, I'm available to be in the nursery. I always bring back to... I have high honors for nursery workers, especially for the ones who are looking after my kids right now. And I have hats off to you. And man, there's always a need somewhere, but what are we going to do with it? Are we going to do something about it? Hey, man, my coworker needs to get saved. Are we going to share the gospel to that coworker? Are we going to give, man, would you pray for my loved one? He's unsaved. Well, have you given him a gospel tract? Have you asked him about his spiritual condition? Have you shared the gospel with that person? We've not only got to see a need and pray and even fast about it, but man, we've got to do something about it. We got to do something about it for the cause of Christ. Man, I got excited. I started drawing up plans. Man, we're going to do this. You know what? I'm going to win the Australian prostrated to the Lord in one day, you know all those visions that you thought about. Pastor, you probably thought about that when you first came here. It was like, man, we're going to turn this country upside down. We're going to do, and man, God can do it. God can do it. And I was thinking about all these things, and I was wanting to plan it all out and everything. And man, I was so excited. But you know what? Whenever you want to do something for God, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition. Here in verse chapter 2, verse 10, look here. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Look at verse 19. It says here, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem and Araban heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? You read on verse chapter 3, chapter 4, how they were trying to stop the progress of this building of the wall in Jerusalem. And man, when God wants to do something in your life, be sure that the devil is going to be there. Be sure that the devil is going to try to trip you up and cause the work of God not to continue on. Look here in chapter 4, I'm using this new Bible and I had everything marked. Anyway, never mind. There, and you see here that they started this false news about Nehemiah. How, man, you just want to build the wall because you want to be their king. You're just doing this because that's when fake news started. By the way, when you want to build a wall, fake news will come around. Amen. And here, and man, there were these folks, Sanballat and Tobiah, they didn't want the work of God to continue. Surely they were used by the devil. And I'm telling you here right now, mark it down. You want to be used by God? The devil's going to be lurking around. The devil's going to be around. He's not going to want it to happen. Don't give up. Don't say, man, well, I guess God doesn't want it to happen. Just when you know God wants you to do something, just continue. Continue pressing forward and continue doing that which God wants you to have. Man, we just started full-time deputation this past month here in March. And man, right off the bat, we were about to leave to go to New York for a meeting. My youngest got a fever, and the doctors were worried because she's been getting fevers a lot this winter. It's still winter, by the way. I don't know when it's going to end. But anyway, and man, right off the bat, here, the devil doesn't want us to do anything. But you know what? It didn't stop us. We went to the meeting. My wife and my youngest, they couldn't come along. But man, I was determined. And I went along. And I learned to be a single dad. Amen. And that was fun. but man, just keep on going. We were up in Brother Johnson's church. Man, that Sunday, so excited. We get into the car. We try to start the car. And guess what? It wasn't starting. And the battery died. And man, the devil's there. We made it happen. We got to church somehow. We were a couple minutes late, but we got there, amen. But I'm telling you, if you ever want to do something for God, the devil's going to be there. The devil's going to be there. The devil's going to try to trip you up and cause you not to do the Lord's will. There's going to be opposition. But here's something I want to give you encouragement. Look at chapter 1. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Chapter 2 and verse 20. I like Nehemiah. Look what he says. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. I love Nehemiah. He's like, ain't nothing going to keep me down. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on doing. I know the Lord has something for me. And by God's grace, he's going to prosper us. By God's grace, he's going to help us through. I don't know what you're going through this morning. Perhaps you've been praying and praying and praying for something to happen, a certain thing to happen. I'm telling you, don't give up. Don't give up. The devil's going to want you to give up. The devil's going to, are you going to let the devil win in this situation? Hey, keep on going. Keep doing what God wants you to do. God will prosper you. God will work things out for you. Man, I told you we just went on full-time deputation. I thought, man, how is God going to provide? Man, going on full-time deputation, God has showed us over and over how God's provided for us. And the Lord has been there the whole time. And I think to myself, wow, we should have done this sooner. This is awesome. I'm having a time. I love it. I love doing what I'm doing for the Lord. And God has helped us through, and God has prospered us. I'm telling you right now, you see a need. Perhaps you've been discouraged. Perhaps the devil's even perhaps tripped you up, and you thought, well, that's not for me. I want to encourage you this morning, keep on going. Keep on pressing forward. Keep on doing what God has called you and wants you to do. Because I'm telling you what, God will prosper you. God will help you. God will help you with whatever God has called you to do. I want you to keep praying for Australia. There's such a large potential in Australia. In the country of Australia, we have a great potential to be sending out a lot of missionaries. Australia has a great economy. Those folks, they've got money to be. The problem is it's still in their pockets, and we got to. Anyway, no. There's a great potential to be sending out missionaries. I think of Sydney as a melting pot, and I know Toronto is too, and all the cultures that are all in Sydney, and how we can train up even nationals just from the city of Sydney. I think of all these churches, these country churches out in the middle of nowhere, and how we can reach them. Man, there's a great work to be had in Australia. Man, there's something great, and I'm so excited to go there. But would you pray for Australia? But man, here in Hamilton, I want you to see a need as Nehemiah did. I want you to pray and fast. I want it to bother you. I want it to consume you. Not only that, I want you to do something about it. Do something about it. Hey, the devil's going to try to trip you up. The devil's going to try to do something. But you know what? We have a God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God will help us and prosper us if we just continue to do what God wants us to do. Let's pray real quickly, and I'll call Pastor. Heavenly